your way. So get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing, hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Well, good evening. This is not V. Paul Reynolds. This is Bob Lehman tonight, the fisherman. And we actually tonight, I'm sorry to have to tell you, Paul, if you're listening, we're going to talk fishing tonight, not deer hunting.
During hunting season?
But you know, there's a lot going on in the fishing world. Because we have Greg Beer here tonight, and he's a regional fisheries biologist. From down East Maine. Is that District C?
Yes, Region
C. Yeah, down East Maine. And that's a big region, big region.
It is.
We were talking tonight about some of the ponds and a lot of regulations and going on there and this and that. So anyway, we have Greg here tonight, and he's going to be a great guest. And we also have Susie sitting here. Would you go out to dinner tonight, Susie? Did you? Did you have a nice meal?
Very good.
Where'd you go? I know where you went. Burger King. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, if I know Greg, he took you out to a nice meal. He always does. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Yep. So on to the show, and tonight's man of the hour, Greg, Norm Plord. We couldn't do without in the technical room out there, behind the glass, you will say, is here tonight, and he's handling things like he always does, and he would be our scourge of Grand Lake Stream. That's what I call him, but Paul calls him the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream. And I know him, and I know this man here. He's deadly. He's deadly.
How you doing, Tom? How are you?
I'm pretty good. We had breakfast this morning.
Yes, we did.
A big breakfast. We went down to that little place in Hamden there. We go there quite often.
Nice place.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Okay. So we'll have Greg on in a few minutes. But before that, we're going to go, Greg, do you know the phone number tonight to call if somebody wants to call in?
1-800-966-1039.
Very good. And you have to dial the whole number, even if you're local, right?
Right.
The number again is?
1-800-966-1039.
Good job. Well done. That's my only job on when I'm the host here, just about, you know.
Yeah.
It falls as all. Thank you very much. Okay. So anyway. We also have promo broadcasts, and we are now streaming live worldwide. And do you know how that's done? How would they use their cell phones to lock in on us? Start from like WVOM, bring up WVOM FM, then they go to podcasts, then they'd go to the Maine Outdoors show, and from there they would go whatever they have to do, because I haven't done it myself. But do you know how to do it?
I've never streamed the show live. No, you know? I never have. I always listen to the one on the radio.
Have you done it, Norman?
No, don't need to. I'm here live.
Have I said it right so far?
I've been live here for over 3 years.
Yeah, right.
No, but usually, if I understand correctly, you go to WVOMFM.com, yeah, and you'll see where the podcast is, and yeah, you just connect to it. And I mean, it's pretty, anybody with a computer can look, and it should be pretty self-explanatory how to log right on.
Yeah. Well, people who know this, how to work the cell phones, because I'm not one of them. I own one, and all I really care about is the telephone and the text. Mm-hmm. Text. I do a lot of texting, so forth, and I take quite a few pictures. And, you know, they come out pretty good, surprisingly. I'm always been a photographic wizard, you might say. But these things are amazing.
Yeah.
They are. Nice. You carry your photo equipment right with you in that little package.
Takes all the work out of taking a photo.
Yeah.
And you can send a photo anywhere you want.
That's right.
I believe, or you can get them printed up.
Yep.
Which I've done. So anyway, as you know, this show is one of our sponsors, of course, is the Northwood Sporting Journal. And the November issue will be on the newsstands right off if it isn't there already. And you can call Alicia for a subscription, 732-4880, and check out our new website edition of Maine Outdoor Communications. one-stop shopping for anything connected to the Maine outdoors. And if you are Christmas shopping early, you have three good questions. NWSJ2 Outdoor Books on our website and Outdoor Watercolor Prints by V. Paul. And all my three books are on there now. So they can bring that right up and order one if they like. So anyway, Outdoor Digest is brought to you by the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And of course, right now we're right in the middle of the hunting season in Maine. And it's been warm up until lately, which we've had some pretty cold weather in the 30s, and that probably makes the bucks raring to go and moving around. Mm-hmm. And Paul got a buck, I guess, a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, excellent.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
He's called it a spike horn, but I called it an old ear.
Oh.
He showed it to me. It had a big head,
mm-hmm.
You know, long nose. It was an old ear, is what it was. It only had a couple of spikes, but they were bent, you know, an old
yeah.
ear. That
yeah.
Showed me a picture of it, and he said, well, that's a spike horn. I said, I don't think so, Paul. I think that's an old ear. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. He said, that's it. Anyway, yes. What do you do with the deer? Do you save out your back strap and some steaks? Or
I save out the back straps.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I cube everything else up and jar it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I haven't had a piece of Jennifer's for years. Plus, I don't hunt much anymore.
You'll have to hit Paul up for some.
Well, I wouldn't mind if he gave me a piece, you know, because I don't have no way of cooking. I'm in a home now, you know.
Right, yeah.
We don't have a stove.
Oh, no, you don't.
We get down for our meals, you know, three meals a day.
Okay.
And such as they are. And that's supposed to fill you up, but generally, you know, we cheat a little. We just eat on snacks and stuff, but sure. So on. Sure. It's pretty good. It's
quite nice. Bob, you have a surprise caller. Would you like to?
We have a caller.
Yes, you do. Surprise call, yep.
Okay, caller, you there.
Hi there, Grumpy.
Hello, this sounds like Joy. Is this Joy?
Yeah.
Ah, it is Joy. I think this is one of my great-granddaughters.
Yes, it is.
It is. She's only what? I think she's 4 or 5 years old, or less than that, probably. But.
Oh, how old you are?
Yeah, how are you, Hetty?
Oh, is that not my birthday?
So you must be picking us up streaming live, right?
We're trying.
Because you're in New York. You're in New York, so you can be. What'd you have to do to pick me up? Do you recall?
I used the number that you gave me to call in, yeah.
Thank you, boy. Well, you're pretty adverse on these cell phones and things, but a lot of people are like me and they have a hard job with them. Actually, a lot of people aren't like me and they have an easy job with them, but I don't know if I can do that, but I don't care to do that anyway, so anyway. Well, nice to talk to you.
Yeah, well, we love you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Have a nice night. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. Okay. Bye. Bye, dear. Okay. Good night.
Good night.
I talked to her earlier today, and I told her that they could call in live streaming. By gosh, they did.
Yeah.
So that's quite a thing, isn't it?
Terrific.
And they live in the Bronx, I think. Yonkers, is it? In New York?
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Manhattan. Are we still on?
Okay.
we're in New York. New York, New York.
Okay.
West side of Manhattan.
Okay, dear. Thank you for calling in. That's Hetty.
All right. See
you. Okay, good night, dear.
Love you,
Dad. Yep, bye.
Bye.
So, where was I? Outdoor Digest. We were going to right in the middle of hunting season, and you've been hunting. You haven't done any luck yet.
I've been hunting. I have no luck.
No luck. You've seen a few.
Mm-hmm.
No good shots.
Right.
A lot of deer around.
Yes.
A lot of deer.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a biologist here, a wildlife biologist, and he had said there was a good crop of deer this year everywhere.
Yeah.
And hunters were having pretty good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good luck. A lot of does around it, and young of the year, yearlings and stuff, and the bucks are just starting to come out now a little bit, cold weather, and they get out and rutting a little bit, and so they're starting to pick them up. We had a veteran here last week, and boy, he gets an 8, 10, 12 buck every year, first week.
Nice.
First week.
Nice.
But he scouts them out. You know, he gets out in the field, and he knows and he won't tell anybody where he goes, you know.
Yeah.
And he takes his pick of what he wants, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And he usually gets it first trip or two out because he knows, you know, all his habits and everything. He's got it all set up.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, I guess. Well, you got to have time for that kind of
you
stuff.
You do.
You know.
Right.
So the average hunter, they probably go out and they, you know, they poke around in the woods and sit down and have a smoke or whatever, mm-hmm. bring a lunch along, a sandwich, and they cruise around, pick berries and
right.
and listen for sounds and yeah. look at the wildlife and so forth. But yeah. And they get lucky sometimes, and sometimes they don't.
Right.
But the old veterans, they know what how to get
right.
a deer.
That is right.
They know. And they got time.
Yep.
You got to have time.
Yep. I got an email yeah. From Butch Tucker, who grew up in Cherryfield, and he lives in Hancock now, and he hunts the old way.
Yeah.
And just a shout out to Butch out there. He got a beautiful buck this year.
Yeah.
Goes out, scouts the area.
Yeah,
and wants to
they
hunt,
know. Yeah.
And he finds a good crossing, and he waits. Goes in every day, and he waits them out, and finally the big buck will show. And
these cameras, too, you know. They put out these cameras, and they pick up habits of the deer.
Yes.
You know, when they can buy and mm-hmm. get a picture of them, and they check the time.
Right.
And so they could just sit there and wait. Well, I don't need to be going till 2 or 2:15 this afternoon, because that's when the deer came by. So they go there and sit down and wait for them, and bingo. And that's usually a nice buck or something.
Well, you know, I have those cameras out, and it doesn't always work that way.
Well, I know a guy that's got cameras out, and he's got two deer already.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm doing something
wrong. You know who that is, Norman.
It's just like a fish finder, you know? Fish finder
right.
tells you there's fish, but it doesn't mean they're going to catch
right.
it for you.
Well, yeah. I must be doing it wrong, because my deer aren't on any type of schedule. So.
Yeah. Next we have on the Outdoor Digest is the fishing report. And you want to play my song?
If you'd like to have it, here
you go. Here they come now, marching in.
Big Boss Bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy Layton, for doing that. He did that for years, you know, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're listening, so hi, Jimmy. Give us a call sometime. Give us a call. Talk to us.
Yeah.
See how you're doing.
Yeah.
We'd like to know.
Love to hear from Jim.
Yes, we would. So the fishing report, I'm going to leave that up to you, Greg. So how is the fishing out there right now? Pretty poor.
Well, I mean, actually be really good. A lot of places are open, Bob.
What places are open?
Well, most all places that we stock, or any warm water lake or pond, they're all still open. Right now. A lot of places are catch and release. Especially
yeah,
for the places
but they're
that
open. Most all of them are catch and release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few that you could harvest some fish.
Yeah.
Of course, warm water fish.
Warm water fish.
Yep, but most of the fishing is open year-round except for the brooks and streams.
Like
and
if
rivers.
You wanted to go to Graham Lake, could you catch fish right now?
Sure.
White perch?
Yes.
Yep, bass, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Pickerel?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
So, you know, that's a warm water lake.
Yeah.
There's many of them. There's thousands
right.
of them. Well, I don't know about thousands, but there's hundreds and hundreds of them.
Yeah.
You know, warm water lakes.
But it's cold out. Most people aren't out there fishing.
Well, that's true.
Yep.
There's
but,
a lot to that, yeah.
But the lakes have been newly stocked, so people that did want to get out there, I mean, the lakes are open. They're not ice covered yet. So
they
can get out there and fish. And
so just as soon as they
fishing.
Get ice covered, we're going to tell you where you can go get them.
Right.
Tonight. So stay tuned. Right?
Right.
Yes, and I was also going to say that some of these rivers right now are still open, like East Outlet.
Okay.
Year round.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And there's more in the state, I would presume there's more in the state, but
we have a few down east, but not
you?
Many.
Do you remember, you know what they are?
Well, like the Orland River. Orland River. We have a section of the Orange River.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Is that, what do they fish for there?
Well, like in New Orleans, we stock it with brook trout in the fall.
Uh-huh.
So they could catch brook
they
trout.
They could catch right off right now. They could go to
yep.
to the Orland River.
Yep.
What was the other one?
Orange River. We don't stock that one. That's more warm water, but you might be able to catch a brown trout that we stock in the lakes up above.
You probably want to wait till the afternoon till the sun gets up and warms things up, but right now your lines will freeze to your guides and you're not going to have very good luck fly fishing. Are they fly fishing only? Or
No, they're not.
They're not.
Nope.
It's open field in on mm-hmm. them. You could fish worms or whatever, live bait.
Right.
But this time of year, it's a little rugged to get a fly line out there.
Right.
I know. I've tried it.
You've tried that.
Okay. Well, I'll wrap up our fishing report for tonight. And we will go right to the outdoor trivia question of the week. And I'm going to give that correct answer, whoever called it in, one of my hand-tied streamer flies tonight. And so the question of the week will be given to you by our guest tonight, Greg Burr, and he has the question all ready to go. Go, Greg.
All right. What is the sensory organ located on the side of a fish?
What is the sensory organ located on the side of all fish? Most fish.
All fish.
Mm-hmm. I know what it is. In some cases, it's I won't say anymore.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, 95.1 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
And we're back with more of the Maine Outdoors Show. This is Bob Liebman, your host tonight, in the absence of V. Paul Reynolds, who has been hunting all week with the Skulkers up in Sabors. And I'm hoping Paul would give us a call, let us know how some of the fellas did up there. I know they don't do too much tagging deer up that way because they're kind of busy eating and so forth.
I spoke to Scotty, and it doesn't look good.
No good?
No, it doesn't look good. Pretty quiet.
Pretty quiet.
For the Skulkers of Sabois.
Well, there's not much to report then, apparently, except for the eats. I know they got a new grill, and they're pretty proud of that new grill. They got this great, big, massive grill. So they've had a chance to use it now, and they're probably happy with it. Well, maybe he could tell us about it if he called in. But he's probably busy. He's probably tired. He's probably in bed already, knowing Paul as I do. Yeah. Maybe not.
You got two callers.
We have two callers. Okay, well, let's get to the first caller. You're their caller.
Yes, I am.
And your name is, where are you calling from?
My name is Sherry, and I'm calling from Woolwich.
Okay. You have an answer to the question, which is?
It's called the lateral line.
That is correct.
Well, the lateral line is correct. Absolutely. Have you ever seen a lateral line on a fish?
No, but when I go fishing with my friend Bob, I'm going to make him show me.
Well, oh, yeah. Sometimes it's pretty prominent, isn't it?
Yes.
Whereas other fish, it's probably not. But it is it keeps the balance, I guess, apparently.
That's right.
It's a balance.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, well, that's what he
it's a movement.
Yeah,
movement.
It's full of air, and, it has sensory things going on with it,
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and we'll send you one of my hand-tied streamer flies. Would you have a preference?
No. Any of them will be fine.
Do you troll or fly cast or anything?
Troll, mostly.
You troll. Okay, I'll send you a streamer.
Sounds like a fun thing.
Okay, one, a very popular one. You'll recognize it right away.
Okay, great.
Okay, dear. Thank you so much for calling in.
Why don't you hang on, and I'll get your address. Hold on.
Okay. Oh, yeah, well, hang on. Don't go away. We got to get your address and everything. So we're going to continue with the show, dear. Just don't hang up, and Norman will talk to you and get your address, okay? Okay. Okay, so now it's time for Greg Burr, a knowledgeable fisheries biologist man from down east Maine, Region C. And I think one of the first questions I'd like to call to about Greg is fall stocking of brook trout.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have a list of pretty much what you've done so far. Is it winding up pretty much right now?
It is, yeah.
How long have you been stocking?
Well, they start sometimes in September.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been right at it. Yeah. And you've been checking other lakes, too, with your netting and so forth.
We have, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Well, we'll get to that after we get to the, if we have time. Yeah,
the hatchery guys and gals, they work around the clock. They really do. They work hard all year round. But in the fall and the spring, when they're stalking, they're right out stalking.
Oh, imagine they are.
Yeah. Yep. And they're calling me early and seeing what the water temperatures are because they want to get the fish out of the hatchery and get going.
Yeah. So, yep. Do they wait for a certain hatchery temperature and then? In the hatchery or in the pond?
Yeah, they,
pond
they like to get it down in the lower 60s before they really start stalking.
I would think so, yeah.
Yep.
It would be quite a shock to them otherwise.
Right.
I would think.
Yep.
Especially, game fish.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me for interrupting.
Yeah. So they've been out there stalking since September. And some of the places, Bob, that we put in some bigger fish, some of the retired brood fish, places like we put in 25 retired brood brook trout at Fitz Pond. We put in 25.
Fitz. That's the Boy Scout?
Yes.
That's Boy Scout?
Yeah.
Lodge out there,
right,
yeah.
Right. Clifton.
I didn't Holden?
Clifton Holden area.
Clifton Holden,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Jacob Buck Pond got 25 of the big brood fish.
Big fish?
Yeah. Jacob Buck Pond down in Buck.
What size are you talking about?
So we're
right
talking,
now?
You know, 18, 20 inches.
No kidding. So
these
good heavens.
Ones. Yeah.
Brook trout.
Yep.
They've been in the hatchery for a while then.
Yes, they have. Yeah.
Well, I should say. Yeah. Huh?
Indian Lake down there in Whiting got 25. Keens Lake in Callis got 25.
Mm-hmm.
Eagle Lake in Bar Harbor got 25.
You know, folks, you ought to have your pen and pencil right handy here and a piece of paper and write down some of these fish before they go right by you. All of a sudden, they're gone. And did I hear Fish Pond and Eagle Lake and and what was some of the ones you just mentioned? Real
That's
slow.
Right. Keens Lake down in Callis and Indian Lake in Whiting.
Indian Lake, yeah.
Yep. And we put 15 in Peep Lake out there in Township 30.
Yeah. 15 of those big ones.
Right.
And 18, 20 inches.
Yes.
Holy Samaritan.
Yeah.
I have a friend, Tom Cole, who has a camp on Peep.
I know Tom.
Do you know Tom?
Yeah, I know Tom.
Oh,
yeah.
He'll be thrilled to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he's listening tonight. I don't know.
Yeah, he loves to fish. And I met him out on Mopang Lake last year. And he said, Greg, I didn't know you opened up Peep to ice fishing. And I said, yeah, we opened it up because people weren't utilizing all the trout that we were stocking in there in the open water season. So we wanted to give people more opportunity. So we opened up Peep for ice fishing.
Yeah.
And people have been having a great time. So we not only stock the smaller fall finglings, but we also stock the fall yearlings, and then we put some retired brood fish in there.
Yes, sir.
So, Tom, he'll have a great time.
Man,
with
I guess probably. They must weigh 3 or 4 pounds.
Yeah, some of them are.
Oh, heavens.
Yep.
I would say so.
We also put 10 of those big brood fish into the Penobscot County Conservation Pond.
Oh, did you?
Yep. I got a request from Woody Higgins to put a few in.
Yeah.
And it's a kid's
only. Did anybody put a canoe in there and fly cast?
Well, it's kids only.
Well, it's kids only, but I mean, the father could go in there with the kids and show them how to fly cast and all that stuff at any time.
Sure.
You know, it's just on private property and so forth. So they're in there.
Yep. It's got to be open to the public. So
That's right.
Yep.
So otherwise you wouldn't stock it.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have a caller. You there, caller?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, and Greg is, and Susie is, and Norman is. We're all doing wonderful tonight. No it's raining,
awesome.
No snowing, but it will be. And what's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
So my name is Fred.
Fred?
And I'm from down in Arundel, Maine.
Arundel? Man, you're down in down western Maine.
You got it, Mark.
You got a question for us?
So, I got a couple of them.
Yep.
So, I'd like to know who was number third in 06 for the largest deer taken in Maine.
Well, I think you're talking to the wrong division here. This is fisheries. Greg is a fisheries man. What you want is a wildlife biologist.
Oh.
So Greg might have an idea, but probably not.
No, I mean, that would be a question for the mastic folks or, Maine sportsmen. They're the ones that keep track of those
things. Maine Sportsman does, check that out.
Yep.
There you go. Okay.
Well, we'll give that a shot. Thank you.
Okay, Fred. Thanks for calling. Do we have another caller?
We have another one, a surprise.
Okay, are you there, caller?
Surprise caller.
You there, caller?
Hello.
Hello, yes, sir. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Dennis LeBaire from Howard Lake, Washington County.
Dennis LeBaire. I've heard that name somewhere before.
I know, Dennis.
My goodness, I haven't seen you in years, Dennis.
It's good to hear your voice.
Well, aren't you nice?
It really is. And, of course, the familiar voice of my friend Greg Burr. I'm up here on a legacy deer hunt. Bob, you might remember the legendary warden, Lloyd Clark.
I do. Yeah, he's down Princeton area, wasn't it?
Well, he was a Callis guy. I'm hunting with his grandson this last week. I supply him with all of his English setter gun dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And we become very close. And my first deer hunt here was in 1967 when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to close the deal with my grandfather's 364 Model 94 30-30 lever gun that he bequeathed to me.
Yeah.
And this is my third try. You know, it's tough to get a buck down here.
Yeah, that's true.
Peter's a deer hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up for this week to do it, and I thought, I'm going to go out in the car, turn on the radio, and see if I can find the Maine Outdoors.
Well, you did fairly well, didn't you?
Sure. You're
so, are you streaming? Is you streaming us, or are you just you're listening live?
I'm listening live on the car radio, and
okay.
Using my pathetic little flip phone, the service has been in and out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to call in and tell you it was the lateral line, but somebody beat me to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think a lot of people beat that's a pretty good question. It is and it isn't, actually. It can be tough, but a lot of people know about it. So,
yeah.
Well, nice talking to you, Dennis. I hope you get your deer.
Nice talking to you, Bob. Yeah. Always a pleasure to hear your voice, Greg. You boys take care, and thanks for your time.
Thanks for calling, okay. Dennis. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, sure is. Okay, well, you keep out of trouble now, Dennis.
Okay.
And keep us informed of your actions around.
I will, I promise.
Okay, appreciate it. Now. Have a nice night. Yep, thank you so much.
He's one of my favorite people.
We got to take a break, right? Yes, he is. He's a peach, isn't he? He wrote a beautiful book on Grand Lake Stream. What do you call it? It's an Indian name for salmon.
Name, yeah. And
I'll think of it before the show's over. Okay. I should have asked him right then and there, but I forgot. We got to take a break right here. So we're going to take a couple of minutes to pay one of the sponsors, and we'll be probably just a couple of minutes. So stick with us. We'll be right back for more on the Maine Outdoors Show.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, 95.1 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
And we're back on Maine Outdoor Show. It's Bob Lehman, your host tonight. We're talking fishing instead of hunting, but there's a lot of things going on in the fishing world, and we'd like to have you folks know about it. so we can continue on with our stalking report here from Greg, but before we do that, we had a little thing we were discussing before we had to take a break, or after we took the break, and that was what our landlocked salmon called. It's just kind of, I think it's a French name, isn't it? Landlocked salmon. I know they call this in Canada, and I know Dennis McNish's book is also the same name. And I said it was Wananich, and you weren't quite sure.
It's an Indian name.
It is.
For landlocked salmon.
Yeah. So if somebody could call in and straighten this out, we'd appreciate it. Maybe Dennis is still a little bit listening. He could call back and straighten this out. I'm pretty sure it's Wananich, but I could. You're not sure.
I thought it was a little something different, but. I can't quite remember, and if I don't know how I would pronounce it either.
Yeah, I can't either. Somebody's calling in right now.
I think it's probably Dennis calling back in.
Yeah, could be. And there's another call coming in, too. The lines are lighting up here on that one. We should have had to make a good question of the week. Maybe I ought to give a prize or something here. We have a caller.
He's back with you.
All right.
Okay, good evening. Is this you, Dennis? Yeah, we have a caller. Is you there?
No.
Not yet. Apparently not. We've got our technician out here. Isn't got him lined up yet, just yet. You there, caller? No. Apparently not. So we kind of think it was one an inch for landlocked salmon. But we got to have an expert call us in and tell us we're wrong or tell us we're right. So, okay, we have a caller?
We do. Was Dennis on with you?
Wananich.
Oh, are you there, caller?
Yeah, Wananich.
Hello?
I could barely hear him, but I got another caller for you.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay, yeah, you there, caller? Hello, caller? You there?
Yep, can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Dave.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm calling from Sim Squish Township.
Oh, wow. Did you get your deer yet?
I have. I did back in bow season.
Well, you did well, didn't you? Yeah, good for you. A buck?
Yes.
Nice one?
Yes. Well, I'm after meat quality, so if I saw a crotch horn standing next to a 10-pointer, I'd probably shoot the crotch horn, but...
Really?
But, I know who this is.
It would be tender. If you want some tender steaks, probably so.
I think Greg Burmine smiled me.
Yeah. Okay, do you know the answer to that landlocked salmon?
Yes, you are correct. It's Wananich.
Wananich. Wananich?
Wananich, yeah.
Yeah. How do you spell that, do you know?
Oh, I don't. Off the top of my head, I wouldn't win any spelling bees. I've seen, in Quebec, they still call them that.
Yes, they do, because we're fishing up there, and that's what they call them. They all run about the same size, 15 inches.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and the meat is just as pink, and I'm telling you, they're beautiful eating fish. But and that's it. You catch them all day long up there, everywhere you go. Anyway, well, thank you, David, for calling in. I appreciate that. We got straightened out. I think you had more than one caller, but you got there first. Thank you so much.
Your
we should have had a prize for you.
Thanks, Dave, for calling in.
Yeah. Okay, Greg. We'll see you.
See ya.
Bye. Yep. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I know who that was, and he's
him.
Pretty sharp cat. You can't
you
get much by him, I can tell you that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, he's a sharp guy.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, there's not much in the outdoors that he doesn't know about.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
He's calling from, where did you say he was calling from?
Swimsquish Township, which I don't think there's such a place, but I know there's a Swimsquish Lake, but he's covering up where he's calling from, but I know where he's calling from.
I see, okay. That's from sometimes that's maybe a good idea.
Yeah, sure.
Try to get away from the wife or
something.
Hey. So back to the report of big trout being stocked around the state of Maine and down east, down your district.
Yeah, we stocked some nice big fall yielding trout into Lovejoy Pond in Township 35 and Bog Lake in Northfield.
Yeah.
So those are a couple of waters that got some nice good sized fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to discuss some of the netting that we did last fall.
Yeah, that'd be great. I know every year you guys get out there and test some of these waters.
Yeah, we're out pretty busy in the fall, and we were out to Beach Hill Pond this fall and netting
Beach Hill.
Yep. In Otis.
You know what the biggest tog they ever caught on a Beach Hill and who caught it?
Sure.
Hollis Grindle.
Mm-hmm.
31 pounds.
Right. 1958.
Right.
Imagine
that, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Yep. There's probably still some big ones in there right now.
There are.
You don't get them in the net, though, probably.
We do.
Do you?
We do. Yep.
How big do they run in the nets?
Sometimes we get them up to 20 pounds.
Yep.
Yep.
That's a big tog.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, the fish there, they mostly are smaller tog, but there's some big ones still there. And so, you know, the tog averaged last fall around 19.5 inches. Of course, they're all wild.
Yeah.
You get a sample of 33 fish.
Yeah.
They're in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
But the ones that we didn't get in our net were seen in and around the spawning shoal, and they're big.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
still an opportunity to get some
really big fish trophy.
There. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
What's that? Dennis is back. Is he? You there, Dennis?
I'm here, guys.
Okay. You're a little late because somebody already.
So, Dennis, what's the name of your book? We couldn't remember.
Yeah, one and each.
Tag one and.
I told you it started with a T.
What was the name of your book?
T as in Tom. TAGEWAHNAHN. That's the Passamaquoddy name for the fish.
Okay. That's the Passamaquoddy name for the landlocked salmon.
Yep.
Yep. Right. But that's
the title of the book.
That's the name of your book. Is any copies of that still available?
Only on the secondary market. The last time I checked, there was one for $120 on eBay, which is an outrage, but.
Well,
but I don't have any more. They're all sold out. I gave my last copy to the Anglers Club of New York.
Well, they're probably a collector's item, you know.
Yeah, kind of.
If I recall, there's a picture of a fisherman at the hatchery pool.
Yeah,
on the cover.
An author tailing.
I have one, that's why. I didn't know it was worth $150. Jeepers.
I've seen them. I've seen people try to sell them for $200 on eBay.
I bet you have. Yeah. Well, thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Yep. Thank you for calling in. Have a nice night.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, too.
And I have an autographed copy of Dennis's book, so it's even worth more.
So do I.
You do, too.
I do, too.
All right. We're lucky guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's somewhere. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere. I got it somewhere.
Yep. And my ugly mug is in it, so, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I got a copy.
Yeah.
But I love the book.
It's a nice book. It tells a lot about Grand Lake Stream.
It
sure is.
Yep.
And speaking of Grand Lake Stream, let's talk just for a second about Grand Lake Stream.
Do we have
They had a bad season at Grand Lake Stream this fall.
Do we have to talk about it?
Yes. Well, a lot of people want to know, they spend a lot of time down there in the fall, and they didn't do well at all.
Inquiring minds want to know.
But the weather was warm. And the tropical rain we got was, you know, kept things warm. I was there for 10 days right at the end of September into October, and we didn't do anything. It was awful. We caught bass. You know, bass is so warm. So so it was desperate. It really was. It was too bad because that's a great place to fish, and a lot of people disappointed, and a lot of the lodges were disappointed too, because were signing up and then going home. You know, it was pretty bad. The water was high up to 1,200 in some cases through the dam.
Yeah, 3,900 I think at one point.
Oof.
Right.
Imagine it. Yeah. Okay. Got to your report.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So, no, the salmon at Beach Hill are looking fantastic. We put a few smelt eggs in there a few springs ago, and that's come to fruition. That the smelt population has just exploded in there. So the salmon look great. We caught about 70 salmon in our nets, and the two 2.5 year olds averaged over 19 inches. 3 year olds were up over 21 inches. 4 year olds were up over 20.
That's great growth, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. It really is. Yeah. We had a 5 year old that was almost 24 inches.
I think this close and smelts in a lot of these places made a big difference.
It has. Yeah, absolutely.
I would say.
Yep. You got
to remember to call folks is 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. If you got a question for Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, so the range of salmon there at Beach Hill is 16 to 24 inches. Looking great. I highly recommend
24 inches. That's there. A 4 or 5 pound salmon.
Yeah.
Hookbill.
Yep. Big kipes on them.
Big kipes, yeah.
So, yeah, if you folks are looking for some big salmon, that's the place to go. It may be a little bit slower fishing, but...
Where was this again?
Fish. This is at Beach Hill Pond in Otis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Beach Hill. Yep, that doesn't fish like it used to be, is it?
No, it doesn't. It really
up over
doesn't.
Rebel Hill and down and in?
That's Hopkins Pond you're talking about, up over Rebel Hill and down through. I used to go in that way when I was a kid to get to Hopkins.
Well, I still go that way.
You still go that way? Okay.
I won't say anymore. Go ahead.
And 22% of the catch was wild, which is great, and when we're protecting more of those larger fish there where you can't take fish between in January and February, you get more of those spawners, and they'll use the tributaries to spawn in as well as the outlet. So we get some pretty good production there for wild fish, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
Branch Lake, we were there. We got a bunch of nice fish there. The two-year-olds, just in contrast from Beach Hill, but the two-year-olds at Branch are about 16 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Three-year-olds were about 18. Four-year-olds were about 20. And then the five-year-olds were over 20.
The five-year-olds, huh?
We got some five-year-olds, which is good to see because Branch gets hit hard. It gets fish.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It does.
Yep.
Do you have any hooking injuries?
Yeah, the hooking injury was 16%.
Yeah.
Which means that the open water use was down.
Yeah.
And, of course, that makes sense with all the rain that we had. Just inclement weather, so people weren't out.
Yeah, well, they had a rupture in the dam there this spring, I guess, and the water dropped 3 or 4 feet, I guess.
Yep, that's
so,
right.
But it didn't take long to come back because they got it repaired, I guess.
Right.
Yep. My son Bobby, they had his usual good luck.
In the spring.
In the spring. He goes in the spring. And,
Nice.
Early. Right after ice out, he's right at him, and he does real well. Real well.
Yep.
Now, I got he some got of those, some nice fish.
I got some of the streamers that he uses and have done very well out there with
they
those.
Do. They work well.
They do. Yep. So things are looking pretty good at Branch. The toad population is increasing, so we really want to encourage anglers to harvest more of those smaller toad at Branch as well as Beach Hill, because they're starting to get where it's going to be out of control. They average the salmon average around 17 inches at Branch, and Beach Hill they average 19 inches, just as contrast.
Yeah.
But I think the anglers backed off of using Branch a little bit because the fishing had gotten slower, so they stopped fishing it. Some.
Pick up any brown trout there?
They do. They still do.
Did you?
We didn't, no.
You didn't?
No. We weren't.
Yeah, they still pick them up.
Oh, yeah, some big ones.
Nice ones.
We weren't netting for browns. If we were going to do that, we would have been off the mouths of some of the tributaries. I took you out with me one day off Brown's Brook, and we netted a big brown trout. I remember you were with me. So we still see those. Yeah, they're still there.
I got good pictures of you that day.
Still there. Yep.
We got to do a commercial.
Okay.
And Greg and I are going to do it together right now.
Right.
And what's the big... sponsor that we have that's been with us for 25 years at least.
General Appliance.
You got a General Appliance. And what do they sell over there?
They sell a lot of gas refrigerators and gas stoves, gas lighting. And
if you're off the grill, that's right. The place to go, isn't
that's
it?
Right. That's right.
Off the grid, I guess. Off the grill. Off the grid.
Yep.
There's definitely no question about it. They have a lot of used appliances over there, gas appliances and electric, and new electric, mm-hmm. too, and parts.
Right.
Yeah. Have you been in there?
I have. That's where I got my stuff for my hunting camp.
Well, there you are.
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, they have a lot of information in there you can pick up, that you can't get in the big box stores.
Yeah.
You just can't. You got to go to a place like General Appliance and talk to them about what your trouble is, and they'll fix it right up for you, give you the parts, shows you where they go, and, I mean, it's just unbelievable help over there.
Yeah.
You just can't replace something like that, So it's almost worthwhile to buy their good new appliances or a good used appliances,
right.
as I said, but... they clean them all up and get them working right, and they guarantee them, so you can't go wrong. General Appliance and Brewer.
And service after the sale, they're there.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay, so back to the show.
Right, and so we were also at Tunk Lake this fall.
Oh, Tunk, yeah.
Yeah, salmon looking pretty darn good there.
Mm-hmm.
Two-year-olds were averaging 17 and a half inches, three-year-olds 19 inches, four-year-olds were over 19. 7% of the catch was wild. The fish averaged around 18 inches. The hooking injury was 26%, which is, fairly high. And it shows that people are out there using the resource, which is great. It has a slot limit on there where you can't kill fish between 17 and 22 inches. So we would anticipate that there would be a lot of hooking injury there because there's a lot of release. So the fish averaged between 14 and 21 and a half inches. Looking good. There's a lot of togue there. We did sample for togue last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's another water where people really need to harvest some of those smaller fish.
Yeah.
We do have some big togue there. They caught one a few years ago, over 25 pounds.
Mm.
So some big togue still.
You got
still
a lot of fish for them.
You really do. And these guys, they catch them. They know what they're doing out there.
Yeah. I've heard that the way to catch them is use a big sucker.
Mm-hmm.
12 inch long, 8, 10, 12 inches long,
right.
And you put treble hook on them in the back, hanging out,
mm-hmm.
and troll that right down deep out on the bottom.
Right.
Years ago, they used those great big spoons. You remember those? I got some of those.
Yes.
They pounded them out of copper and shined them all up, and they go
Davis
round
spoons.
And round and over, and the rod tip would tip, pip, pip, pip.
Yep.
And if it missed a bit, why, you'd drill in a couple of,
that's right.
couple of feet. So,
exactly.
Go ahead.
So then we were at West Grand. And got a 100 fish sample there. The fish are a little bit smaller, but they still are in good shape. 2.5-year-olds are 16 inches. 3.5s are 18 and a half inches. The 4-year-olds were almost 20 inches. And we had some 5s that were up over 20. Fish look good. They range from 14 inches to 21 and a half inches. Hooking injury was around 18%. Which is right normal, what we usually see between 15 and 25. And the percent wild fish was 2% there, which is
low. That's pretty small,
isn't it? It's pretty low, but, the production is in the outlet, and a lot of those fish that are produced in the outlet go down rather than up. So they'll go down into Big Lake rather than back up into West Grand.
Yeah.
So usually that – it's.
What's the name of that stream on the other side of the road down on the left there, that long? Spring River? From Tunk?
From Tunk.
Tunk?
Yep.
And the brook goes out and goes down into Spring River?
Yes.
And they get down in that and spawn?
Yes, they do. Yep. Yep, at Tunk.
Can you fish for them there?
You can in the open water season. Yeah, starting April 1st.
But that probably closes early.
It closes September 30th.
I would think, that would be, that would take care of the...
That's right.
Keep them happy.
Yeah. So West Grand, the salmon averaged around 16 and a half inches. Like I say, they're looking good, great shape. So I think the anglers this winter will have some nice salmon to fish for out there. We were at Cadhance, Bob, Cadhance Lake in Cooper, and got a bunch of salmon there. And the 2-year-olds were averaging 16 inches.
That's good growth.
Yep. The 3-year-olds were averaging almost 18. The 4-year-olds were almost 20. And the 5-year-olds were over 20.
Yeah.
Average salmon there is about 16 inches. The range is between 14 and 22. Yeah, so as it was a good sample of fish, and they're looking pretty good there. So, mm-hmm. And then we went to Alligator. We haven't been to Alligator Lake.
Yeah. Can you get in there all right? You can't drive it now, can you?
We drove in.
Did you?
Yeah, this fall. The gate was still open when we were there.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So we had netted there since 2009.
Uh-huh.
We wanted to check on to all wild salmon there now.
Yeah, wild trout, wild salmon.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
We didn't catch a lot of fish, but we did get 17 fish in there. Uh-huh. And we had one fish that was up over 27 and a half inches.
It was salmon or
salmon.
Wow, that's a beauty.
Yeah,
they're catching 5 pounds.
This was 5 pounds.
Oh man,
so it was a little bit on the thin side.
Yeah.
It was 9.5 years old. So,
is that
so? An older fish. Yep, yep.
How do they tell the age? I know about.
So we take scales. Yeah, and put them under the scope.
Just like a tree.
Not just like a tree, similar, but
similar.
You know, a tree, you're counting the rings with with salmon. You're looking at winter's growth and summer's growth, and together putting those together, and that gives you a one year.
I see. So, yeah,
and I think Norm has given us a two minute warning.
2 minute sign. So we'll have to wrap this up real quick. Right?
Yeah. So the fish average between 14 and 19 inches generally. The hooking injury was 12%, which is low because people don't, it's a carry-in access there, so it doesn't get used a lot. I think the estimate there for use last winter was about 100 anglers, and that's in a water that's about 1,200 acres. So
mm-hmm.
So it doesn't get fished all that hard, but there's some big fish in there. So, and the fish are looking good, and it's all wild production.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Do you ever did Log Pond down in Aurora there?
Sure.
Yeah, they have a lot. Do they still have a lot of wild trout in there?
There is.
You do stock it, though, I know.
We do stock it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the wild trout in there is probably getting smaller and smaller all the time.
No, there's some really nice big wild trout in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes they drop down into King.
I went in there with you years ago with Ron.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I think he said something about he caught a 4 or 5 pounder in the net. And also down in the one below... Long Pond.
King.
What is it?
King Pond.
Yeah, King and then Rift.
Rift.
Yep.
Yep.
And we did all of those. We got a 6-pound brook trout. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it because I think it was a day or two before I went with
right.
you guys. But
right.
6-pound brook trout. And I think that was out of Rift.
Rift. That was out of Rift.
Rift.
Yep.
You
yep.
remember that, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. And they've caught in Long Pond, they caught trout up to 7 pounds. It's been a while since they caught them that big, but that's some big,
man.
Big brookies. Yeah.
Well, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, all native, you know, pro like that. Forget.
Yeah, when,
must be.
You know, this fish was actually a stocked fish that got up.
Oh,
to
is that
big.
So?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, they're feeding on crayfish and smelts.
I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that place is fish like it used to be, is it?
It's not. It's mostly fished by camp owners and a few locals.
Thank you, Greg, for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having
always
me.
A wonderful evening with you, and you have a lot of information for us, and we sure do appreciate it.
Love
thank
it.
You, Susie, for being here. And thank you, Norman, for being in the control room. We'll see you next Sunday, Norman. We'll see everybody next Sunday, where we will see you, but you'll listen to you right here on the Maine Outdoors Show.